The Department of Finance this week, which came out with a pretty remarkable report, which talked about long range implications of demographic change in this country. And Ireland is facing falling tax revenues as the population ages over the years. Ireland faces a surge of people, of older people particularly, as a proportion of the population, falling tax revenues and increased fiscal deficits, according to the new report. The study says that without remedies, the deficit could reach a significant 8% of national income, driving the country's borrowing to almost 150% the size of the economy, or €117,000 per head in 40 years. It warns if the debt reaches this level, it would considerably hinder the state's ability to respond to crises or deliver public services and investment. The report is called Future 40 and outlines potential scenarios between now and 2065. And some of the projections are pretty stark. At present, there are 116 people in the labour force in Ireland for every 100 not working. By 2065, there will just be 98 workers for every 100 not working. The report says there will be a staggering labour force suppressing economic growth, or stagnating labour force suppressing economic growth. Continued inward migration will be vital to maintain growth in the labour force. By the time, almost half of the state's expenditure will be on age-related spending, including healthcare, long-term care and pensions. And the report warns about the impact of debt servicing costs and spending to deal with climate change, absorbing increasing amounts of expenditure. So there you go, all kind of doom and gloom, really, and a lot of it to do with too many older people. With me in the line to talk about this is Sue Shaw, who is with the Senior Citizens Parliament. Sue, good morning to you.
And good morning to you, Jerry, and to your listeners.
Listen, what's your reaction? What's the reaction of your members, member in the Parliament, to this report? We're far, far too many older people, far too expensive. What are we going to do?
It is a starting set of figures. It is an ageing demographic. I agree with that. But I think how we phrase things, how we put things out there, is crucial to the well-being of other people. What I would say is they're looking at, and I think the crucial comment you made there was, in 40 years' time. And I think that's why these reports, and that's why that push towards addressing issues are coming up now. It's trying to prepare, trying to put in place policies that will make sure that we don't go into economic decline, that we don't end up borrowing more money than we need to. So in reality, it's like a scare tactic to some degree, because it is the truth, but we can deal with it. There isn't an issue that says this can't be dealt with. And that's a crucial piece for us to, when we're working with government, to say forward planning. You didn't do it for our lot, but you're going to have to do it for the next. Like, you're talking about people who are in their 50s now, 40s and 50s. But we're not on our own in this, Jerry. Across Europe, it's an ageing demographic. We actually have the least population growth of older people. We're a little behind the other countries. They have a higher proportion of older and ageing demographic. So we can look and collaborate with people about what is the best thing to do here. One, a start would be to start seeing it in some way as a celebration rather than a complete negative piece. Like, we have started to look at older people as though, I wonder at 65 now, should we do something about getting rid of them before they get to be a drain on our economy?
Is that the danger of the language here, Sue? Oh God, it's such a, they're all such a burden, all these old people. What are we going to do?
And while I am being lighthearted now, but the reality is that how we think like that and how we use that language, you hear it in all of, I'm listening to your comments and listening to earlier pieces and about how immigration is thought of, how we're doing things wrong. And there is no doubt about it. There are key issues there. But at the end of the day, your caller's comment about our medical, our IT, that is crucial, that we have a good open policy that allows people to come into our country. not be a drain on it, and but support to it. And we desperately need skilled people coming to our country, and that will grow. That will go as people retire. That's another area I think we could look at. The amount of people I speak to who say, "I didn't want to retire. I had no choice. I was told on your bike." So on a Friday evening, I was a valuable member of that team. I was contributing to it. I was doing my job on the ground. And on a Monday, well, now you're ready. You know, you're going this Friday because, you know, I'm plagiarising that a little bit. But people are not always wanting to go. So there should be a choice. I don't think there's lots of people who say, "Now, Susan, don't be telling them they can keep me longer than that." It should be a choice. There should be better planning and ageing out of our population. There are still some jobs that lots of people could still do and want to do into it, and do them on a part-time basis, do them in a different way and not give up. So forcing people out at a certain age is not necessarily a benefit, and that they could stay on. And during COVID, the amount of nurses we brought back to manage the COVID crisis with injections, an awful lot of our members who were nurses were back doing that. So we need to think about that.
Able to do
we
it.
Need to think about it. If it's going to be a drain, how do we look at it in a positive light? But we also need to think of the celebration of it. Like, yes, of course it is. We're living longer. It is. And the point for us is, don't live longer, just live longer and live healthier. So it's about enjoying it. Like, I remember when my dad retired, my mum and dad were so looking forward to nine spring chicken. But my mum and dad were so looking forward to spending time together, and they got 18 months and he died, a young man. So the idea, my husband and I are having a great time. Do you know what I mean? In his retirement, we're enjoying it. So I think seeing the celebration of that. I'm my grandchildren one day a week. The benefit to me and to them is crucial. Reports show older people live longer if they are surrounded by younger people. Younger people are much less anxious because I don't have the expectation, my grandchildren, that I had on my poor kids. Do you know, they were going to rule the world, they were going to do this, they were going to do that. Not realistic about it, but there is an expectation of how well our kids will do. No expectation of these grandchildren. They're just adorable. So I think there is a bit about what are the benefits of it. The other thing I'm well aware of is the amount of people who volunteer. Our volunteer structures would fall down if we didn't have older people.
Yeah, they certainly would.
They volunteer in huge capacity. And they have, I think the government should be very happy with them at the moment, because half they're solving some of the housing crisis for us, because the amount of kids who are still, well, not kids, adult children who are now living at home or who have retired family to live at home because they cannot afford a house. I heard people talk about that in your commentaries there. But I do think it's about seeing it as, what are the positives in it? What are the good things about it? And there are so many good things about this. And then how do we plan in that 40 years to make sure that we do have a situation that it is not all doom and gloom?
Look, looking at that side of it, if you go back to 1985, the average life expectancy in the country was 73 years. 2023, you move on and it's 83 years, effectively. And that's like a huge, living longer, ultimately living healthier longer, whatever economic pressures that brings or healthcare pressures that brings, that's a positive sign of a country that's going in the right direction. That people are living, having that length of time alive and ultimately healthier, more active later on in their life.
And all too often we hear that, the bellocking of older people. The reality is not always that. We never, ever, like I have never seen a news item, I've seen a news article very rarely, talking about celebrating older people. Like look at Luke O'Neill and his... He'd be a man to have talked to us about how we manage aging. He's a fantastic purporter of managing aging well, and we can do it. there's a study that Dr. Rose Kenny is doing in Trinity. And it's a long term. And she would say, like, the stats that they're producing around benefits for our society and for older people in the living longer. So there are definitely more benefits that outweighs. But if we only focus, if we only put the lens on bed blocking, people being really old and infirm and costing us things, like, that is not the full picture. It is a part.
Well, the more accurate thing to say, Sue, would be government or politicians 10 or 15 or 20 years ago failed to plan for an expanding health service. Rather than saying, oh, the problem is it's the older people blocking all the beds, it's that we never built enough community nursing beds. Like, I'll give you a prime example. Where there's a Killarney Community Nursing Unit, 130 bed centre being built. It's a year late. It's on course to being a year late. Because we don't know why. We haven't been told why. It's built. There's beds in there. There's machinery in there. It's all ready to go. And yet it still hasn't been handed over from the contractor to the HSE for the long process to get it up and running. That's an example. That's nothing to do with older people blocking beds in University Hospital Kerry, is it?
No, it is absolutely not. And I truly believe that, you know, that old saying, plan to fail and you're going to fail. It's a given. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? And the bottom line is, unfortunately, our government and past governments, not just this current government, but past governments, have refused to plan. I was involved, quite some time ago, in putting together, they did an amazing consultation process with all around the country with older people, and they really took heed of what was being said and put together an amazing plan about ageing and an ageing demographic. And that sat on a shelf. I spoke to the last minister for older people. She kind of looked at me baffled. If it's to be taken down off a shelf somewhere and just up to look at. Or should they just backlines now? So the reality is that is the problem. The reason we have a housing crisis is we failed to plan. We were told about that we needed. So I do think that's the bit that our older people need. They really learning. Well, I have a good voice. I know my stuff. I can talk to my politician and say, what are you going to do about older people? And for us, for me, and for the current cohort, that's not where the issue lies. I think we need to be talking, you know, 40 to 50 girls now need to be saying, hold on a minute, what's going to happen to me? Like, I'm looking at the auto-enrollment piece and they're saying, well, you can opt out of that after a while. Well, no, you can't. You shouldn't be able to, because the state pension will not keep you. It hasn't enough to keep you above the poverty line, so the new one is not going to. So it is important that we plan and that we realise some of our population's fear of having other people into the country. It's how it got managed. It isn't that doing those who were involved and engaged in the community. Yeah. It's a big issue. So again, as you say, it's all down to planning. It is a thing to celebrate. But if we don't plan it will be a nightmare.
It'll be a problem. Yeah. Yeah, Sue, thanks a million for talking to us about that and giving us your view. Sue Shaw there, the Senior Citizens Parliament, what do you make of that? The language that we use, how we plan for the future, all of those things pertinent out of that Future 40 report from the Department of Finance.